Ladies and gentlemen, a number of years back, our youngest daughter was attending a local community college to get some of her basic classes out of the way prior to transferring to a four-year university, and she was taking an English course, and in that class, she, as well as all of her classmates, were told this. Here is the direct statement: Christians are ignorant and stupid. My daughter came home, and she said, "Dad, here's what the professor said." And she said, "I feel like I need to respond to that." And I said, "Well, I feel like you do as well, but you need to be respectful. You need to understand he is in a position of authority, and you need to respond in a respectful way, but you need to respond in a definitive way." And I said, "If you need my help, I'll be glad to do so." And she said, "No, Dad, I think I've got this on my own." And boy, did she ever. Here's what she penned back in the form of an email to that English professor at the local community college. She said, and I quote, "I don't know who the Christians are that you've met that you think are ignorant, but I don't know any of them. The ones I know are vice presidents of major corporations. They're community leaders. They're highly intelligent, accomplished people." And then she went on and gave specific examples, which I'll not do, and concluded her statement via email to this professor with this comment: "So I am offended by your uninformed remark," end quote. Well, with that, next class, dramatic difference. He backed down, and according to my daughter, never again the rest of the semester made any comment like that. So praise the Lord for that. However, that's not often the case, and it's not often the case, certainly with respect to the media. Yesterday, MSNBC host Joy Reid stated that she thinks rural Americans are, quote, the core threat to our democracy, and pointed to a series of tweets by liberal author Jared Sexton that claim Trump supporters do not believe in the Constitution or any founding principles unless they are advantageous to them. Well, where did Sexton get an idea like that? I'm not sure. But according to Joy Reid, she said this: by 2040, about 70% of Americans are expected to live in the 15 largest states. They will have only 30 senators representing them, while the remaining 30% of Americans will have 70 senators representing them. She goes on and says, this is the core threat to our democracy. The rural minority have and will continue to have disproportionate power over the urban majority. What is her solution to that? Here's what she said: abolishing the electoral college system would be a great place to start in correcting this imbalance. Now, Sam, I want to go to you. It's one thing to call rural Americans uneducated, ignorant, but it's something else to say that by 2040, the rural population of America is going to be more greatly represented in the Senate, and a way to equalize that, to keep them from having too much influence, is to do away with the electoral college system. So, Sam, once again, this brilliant move on the part of our founders to have an electoral college rather than having our representatives elected merely by popular vote, it's under attack, which I believe reveals an agenda they have, and I'd love for you to unpack that agenda for our listening audience.
Well, Dave, I'm going to go back again to the authenticity or the reliability of the spokesperson or the writer. Just like we did at the first part, I said that individual that you quoted was wrong in what they stated. Now, this one, Joe Reid, you quoted her as saying, quote, of the rural folks and so forth, Trump supporters, quote, do not believe in the Constitution or any founding principles unless they're advantageous. Well, Dave, right there, that demonstrates an ignorance of the Constitution. And her entire premise from the get-go is off base and wrong. Therefore, any conclusion she comes to is off base. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, anyone who believes in the Constitution understands that there are such things as representatives and senators. And anybody who believes in the Constitution understands that there are two senators from each state for a reason. They never were set up to represent the population of the states. They were sent up to represent the fact that there was a state.
Correct.
All right, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry for laughing, Sam, but when I read the statement last evening, I thought, what is she talking about? She doesn't understand the system at all.
No, she does not. And what she is defining is when she says this is the core threat to our democracy, there again, demonstration, she does not understand the Constitution because we don't have a democracy.
Correct.
We have a representative republic, and there's a huge difference. And that's why there are two senators for every state, whether it's the size of Delaware or Connecticut or Rhode Island or Texas or California. It has nothing to do with geography or the number of people. It has everything to do with the fact that it is a state that needs representation. So again, she demonstrates a rejection, I would say, not an ignorance. I would say a rejection of reality and of the truth. And it's very interesting how people who try to attack others, which is exactly what's happening here, attack those who are in the rule setting, attack those that would be perhaps more conservative, generally speaking, that they take and twist reality. And you have to go back to the very premise, define the terms, and ask for and establish the premise. In this case, she doesn't know the terms, and she very clearly has a wrong premise. Therefore, the direction she's going of wanting to say, let's get rid of the Electoral College, now can be put into perspective, and then we can answer why that idea is a very bad idea. But she was flawed from the beginning.
Well, Sam, you're talking about basic elements of logic, and she failed on two accounts right there. And so let me go back to this, because what she's after, even though she did not logically argue to her premise, which is get rid of the Electoral College system, but that's the agenda, that's the goal. Why do these people want to see that done away with? And why are so many? Because I hear it even among good people. They don't understand the reason for the Electoral College. And so they say, you know, it's confusing. We ought to get rid of it. No, our founders had great wisdom in implementing an Electoral College system. Talk about that for a minute, if you would.
Dave, again, just briefly, the Electoral College system was another step in the process to ensure a representative form of election, not a direct election of those in office as you would have in a democracy. It was put in place to protect the minority against the majority. It was to protect a couple of pockets of the country, a California that has a lot of people, and a New York City as an example, two liberal states by and large, California and New York, to keep those two population centers from exercising their will over the wishes of 90%, 95% of the territory of this nation. And Dave, so that's what's at the heart of it. They want to go to a direct representation, a true democracy. And if you have a democracy, you give up the Constitution, because that's not what that's reflective of. You give up founding principles, because that's not a part of it. And you allow for a guided process, a media, a contrived system of gatekeepers to influence like a herd mentality and to drive the sheep to a given fold or perspective. And that's what the Electoral College was put into effect to help prevent that kind of thing from happening. It was a fence in the process to keep the wolves out, and effectively they're asking, get rid of the fence so we can go in and attack the sheep.
And they are the wolves, Sam. They are the wolves. And what you're saying in essence is this: the population centers like California, New York, and so on, if we did away with the Electoral College system, all a candidate would have to do would be campaign in those large population centers and flyover country, as it is now sometimes called, in the heartland of the United States where there's not as much population. States like North Dakota, South Dakota, New Mexico, whatever, those states would basically be steamrolled by the states or the centers of the country that had large population. And our founders, in sheer God-given wisdom, looked down through the future of the country, foresaw the growth, saw the possibility of what you just said, these large population centers steamrolling other parts of the country, and in essence, the smaller, less populated areas having virtually no voice, no representation. So they implemented this Electoral College process, which, Sam, is sheer brilliance. Now, let me ask a question. We're trying to do some of this today on the program. We try to do it every day as we try to help educate the listening audience and help people understand what's going on. How do you take someone like a Joy Reid, who has a significant megaphone? She's on MSNBC. A lot of people watch her. They assume what she says is the gospel truth. How do you correct or overcome not only totally illogical comments, but how do you overcome an agenda that is bent on really overthrowing the Constitution and our constitutional republic itself?
Dave, I'm going to go to the heart of one word, and we talk about it on this program a lot. We call Stand in the Gap for Truth. Dave, truth is the element, the only solution to eradicating error. Truth is the only objective measure for thinking. Truth is the basis of knowledge. Truth is the basis of logical thinking. Truth is the missing component in this. That's the part that I Joy Reid and others who assume a wrong premise and reject what is real. It's because they have rejected truth. And so, Dave, we can get into where that comes from, but it takes us right back to the Word of God. Ultimately, it's a rejection of God, rejection of God's Word, rejection of truth, rejection of the Constitution, and all these things are really, they walk together.